The rain streaked down the grimy windowpane of my office, smearing the view over the streets below like bad watercolors. It was the kind of afternoon that made the Wilkinson building feel less like an office space and more like a mausoleum for forgotten dreams. The ceiling fan whined overhead, churning dust and stale air like it was trying to whip up a better mood. It failed. I sat behind my desk, absently shuffling a deck of unpaid bills and staring at the old clock on the wall. The hands ticked loud, slow, mocking me with every beat. Cole Harper, private investigator. A title with more bark than bite these days. I wasn't the next Philip Marlowe or Sam Spade, but I could hold my own. At least, I used to. The door swung open without warning. Ava Dawson walked in with a smile and a steaming cup of coffee. She looked fresher than the rest of this crumbling place, which wasn't saying much. "Morning, Cole. Here's some coffee. Figured you could use a pick-me-up," she said, all smooth and cheerful. I took the cup and let the bitter aroma slap me awake. "Thanks, Ava. Any calls this morning?" She gave me that patient look that said she'd heard the question 1,000 times. "Nothing yet, Cole, but don't worry. Something'll turn up. I can feel it." Yeah, something always turned up. The trick was surviving long enough to see it. The door opened again and the temperature in the room dropped a degree. Juliet Montgomery strutted in like she owned the place, all curves and cozy smiles wrapped in a dress that didn't know the meaning of modesty. Trouble walked in heels, and Juliet had the strut of someone born to break hearts and bankrolls. Ava didn't budge from where she stood, arms crossed, and chin raised like a sentinel guarding the gates of decency. "What are you doing here, Juliet? This is a place of business." Juliet tilted her head and smiled sweetly as arsenic. "Don't get jealous, darling. I'm just here to see my favorite detective." I leaned back in my chair, already tired. "Cut the act, Juliet. What do you want?" Her smile faltered just a fraction. "Gannett Goyle dropped by to say hello." "Not you. Spill it, Juliet. I'm not in the mood for games." She opened her mouth to answer, but the door banged open for the third time that morning. The room turned brighter by about 6 colors when a woman of about 70 years old sailed in, a walking rainbow of silk scarves and clinking jewelry. She looked like someone who raided a fortune teller's trunk and proudly wore the spoils. On her shoulder sat a parrot the size of a small cannonball, its feathers bright red and its beady black eyes fixed on me with a malevolence that felt personal. Behind her loomed a tall, wiry man in a chauffeur's uniform. His name tag said Werner, but his face said, "Don't ask questions." "Mr. Harper, I presume?" Her voice quavered like she was half afraid of her shadow. I waved her into the chair across from me. "That's me. How can I help you?" She sank into the chair, her scarves billowing like sails caught in a draft. "It's my husband, George. Mr. Harper, my husband, he's disappeared." "And you are?" I questioned. "And my name is Hortense Prattle," she answered. I steepled my fingers. Missing husbands wasn't uncommon. Half the time they turned up nursing a hangover in the back room of some bar. "How long has he been gone?"
3 days, Mr. Harper. 3 whole days. I've told the police, but they won't help until he's been gone, missing a week."
3 days is a long time to stay lost. Was George in the habit of disappearing?
Never. He liked walking the estate because it reminded him of his Navy days. He'd be gone an hour at most, but he's vanished without a trace.
Before I could say anything, the parrot let out an angry squawk loud enough to rattle the window.
"You scurvy bilge rat. Deep shadow."